Welcome to day seven. So it's been a wonderfully spiritually rewarding Feast of Tabernacles, hasn't it? Hard to believe, like I said, the eighth day is almost here. And we've heard some wonderful messages, and we've gotten a break from this crazy year that's called 2020. And unfortunately, in just a little over 24 hours or so, we're going to re-enter this crazy year that we've had. But it's been a nice respite in here. Outside these walls, the country is crippled with COVID-19 and its effects. In fact, the economy is crawled to a slow halt. We're trying to figure out how to deal with that as a nation. We're trying to figure out how to not contaminate each other with social distancing and that type of thing. We even had to adopt some of those practices here during our Feast of Tabernacles celebrations. And so thinking about COVID-19 and this year that we've all been experiencing together, that got me dwelling on a topic that I'm actually going to speak about during this message. And that topic is leprosy. So during this message, we're going to talk about leprosy. Hey, I had to choose something that somebody wasn't going to talk about on day seven. I figured I was pretty safe with leprosy. But this year does remind us, it reminded me of leprosy anyway. So the title of my split sermon today is The Leper, the Physician, isn't a doctor, The Leper, the Physician, and the Trees. Let's begin by looking at leprosy in the Bible in ancient Israel. Will everyone please turn to Leviticus 13? So I'll go over, read a passage of scripture that we might not read much on Leviticus 13. And as we remember, Mr. Dowd said in his sermon that Leviticus is a book that dealt with the topic of how to be holy. So kind of keep that in the back of your mind as we discuss leprosy. Because, see, the physical nation of Israel had to be physically clean as a group. And if someone was contaminated with leprosy, they were deemed unclean. So we'll begin by turning to Leviticus 13 here, and we'll start by, we'll read verses 1 through 8. But before I get into that, I would just like to mention that medical scholars do not see leprosy in the Bible as what's commonly referred to as leprosy today. Leprosy in the Bible was actually a number of conditions. It was psoriasis. It was a type of dermatitis. It was rosacea, scabies. It was all sorts of different skin conditions that are lumped together and called leprosy. So that's the way biblical scholars see leprosy in the Bible. But many of those skin conditions, whether you're talking about leprosy of the old days or today, the skin conditions were highly contagious. So it was very important that the person who had leprosy had to remove themselves from the camp of Israel. Quarantining oneself due to this contagious illness is quite biblical. And it's biblical of trying to quarantine yourself when you are sick. I'll just throw that out there. Unfortunately, my oldest is 14, and he caught a cold when he was here. And he had to stay behind and doesn't get to hear my message here, but he's been getting better from the fever, and hopefully he'll be here tonight and tomorrow, but these things happen from time to time, quarantining ourselves. Let's pick up Leviticus 13, and we'll read verse 1 through 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or one of his sons the priests. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair of the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than skin, and his hair is not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has had the sore 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and indeed if the sore appeared to be as it was, and the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day, and indeed if the sore has faded, and the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin, after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. So we see here that contracting leprosy was tied to being clean or unclean, a state of being ceremonially holy. If a person contracted the leprosy, they fell into an unclean state. And we also see that it was a priest that made the determination if the skin condition was leprous or not. So we've been dreaming up here of priestly roles and kingly roles that we might fulfill in the millennium. Who here was thinking of becoming a skin doctor and skin detective for leprosy? It's usually not what we think about when we think of priestly and kingly roles, but it's something that the priests had to do. Notice in verse 2 that all the leprous-like sores were supposed to be examined. In verse 3, the person who had these type of sores was declared unclean. Notice also in verse 5 and 6 that if the sore got better, or if at least it didn't get worse, after a 7-day waiting period, the person was allowed back into the congregation, and the person was declared clean again. And verse 7 and 8 show us that if the skin condition did get worse, the leprosy and the person of the leprosy, the person became in an unclean state after the sore was examined. Now let's drop on down to verse 45 of Leviticus 13 here. This part of the chapter goes into some of the responsibilities of the leprous individual once they got leprosy. Leviticus 13, verse 45. And we'll just read verses 45 and 46. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, "Unclean, unclean." And he shall be unclean all the days he has the sore, and he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So we see here that the person who had leprosy did get quarantined and kicked out of the camp. We also see that he had to shave his head, he had to tear his clothes, and he had to yell, "Unclean, unclean," to anybody that walked by, presumably warning the person of his leprous condition before they got too close. And they had to do this to everyone who passed by their setup outside the camp of Israel. I have seen somebody go through COVID-19 this year, and fortunately, they were healed of it, and they're doing fine. And I've seen other people quarantined because of COVID-19. And there does seem to be a stigma with this virus that's going around. Whatever your thoughts are about it, it does seem that once a person gets it, there tends to be a certain little stigma or a kind of some bad feelings that can arise from those people that have gotten it. But fortunately, it's nowhere near the stigma that came with leprosy here in the Bible. Now let's look at some of the sacrifices that the leper had to perform once the skin condition was healed. Will everyone please turn over to Leviticus 14, verse 9. Turn over a page. Leviticus 14, verse 9. We won't read the first part of this before this verse 9, but in the chapter leading up to this point, we see that there is a sacrifice that I won't go through, where the leprous person whose skin condition was clean had to take two birds, One of the birds would be sacrificed in a very specific manner. The other bird was sprinkled with blood from the sacrificed bird and released in an open field. That ceremony in verse 4 through 7 reminded me of the goat sacrifice and the Azazel goat in the atonement service. So you might kind of keep that in mind and just review it at some point if you want to after this message. But the priest had to pronounce the person who had leprosy as clean, and then they had to go through an atoning sacrifice. Let's read about that. Oh, over here in verse 9, I wanted to pick up in 14 verse 9 that, yeah, we'll start over here. Sorry about that. But yeah, we'll look at the atonement sacrifice that had to be performed for the leprous individual. We'll pick that up in verse 8 here and read through verse 20. Who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp, and he shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day he shall shave all the hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, and he shall be shaved off. He shall wash his clothes, and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as the grain offering, and 1 log of oil. And the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. And the priest shall take 1 male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering in the log of oil and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering, in a holy place. And for as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in the left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some of the tip of the right ear on him who is to be cleaned, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand shall put on the head of him who is to be cleaned. So the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering to make an atonement to him who is to be cleaned from his uncleanness. Afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be cleaned. We see here, in addition to the bird sacrifice that I talked about, the trespass offering, the sin offering, and the burnt offering. And I want to draw your attention to verse 8 of this. The person re-entering the camp had to have a shaved head. All his hair had to be shaved. The beard and the eyebrows had to be gone. And verse 14, the person re-entering the camp had to be marked on their right earlobe, their right thumb, and their big toe with blood. So this person that's re-entering the camp after having leprosy for who knows how long stuck out like a sore thumb. If you didn't know when the guy was away from the camp what he had, you knew when he came back he had leprosy. So getting leprosy in Israel was quite a humbling experience. You were considered unclean with a contagious disease. You had to be left outside the camp. You had to yell, "Unclean, unclean," to people who passed by. You were allowed back into the camp after your skin had cleared up after a week. But you were a marked individual. Your head was completely shaven. Your beard was gone if you had one. Eyebrows were even gone, and you had a blood mark on your right earlobe, your right thumb, and your right toe. So they knew what you had when you came back into the camp. This disease probably got an added stigma early on in Israel's history due to Miriam. Remember Miriam's story? We'll review it here in a minute. Miriam was Aaron and Moses' sister. Miriam and Aaron talked bad about Moses when he married the Ethiopian woman. And God immediately struck Miriam with leprosy on the spot when this happened. Numbers 12 and verse 10 says that Miriam became white as snow due to leprosy. This correction of Miriam seemed to have left a mark in the psyche of Israel, because we don't have to turn there, but over in Deuteronomy 24, verses 8 through 9, says the following: "Take heed in an outbreak of leprosy that you carefully observe and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you, just as I commanded them. So you shall be careful to do." Verse 9: "Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way when he came out of Egypt." So this Miriam's example was so much of ingrained in Israel's consciousness that Deuteronomy reminded us of her example. Let's look at that over in Numbers 12. We'll read verses 4 through 15 of Numbers 12. "Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, 'Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting.' So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward, and he said to them, 'Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?' This was asked to Miriam and Aaron. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned towards Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, 'Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when she comes out of his mother's womb.' So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'Please heal her, O God, I pray.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'If her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again.' So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again." So we see here in this example that Miriam did contract leprosy due to speaking against Moses. And then Moses prayed to God, and God agreed. Appreciate that. Following quarantine protocols. So Miriam got the virus, and then she had to remain outside the camp. Well, she got leprosy, I should say, and she had to remain outside the camp for 7 days. It's a little bit of speculation on my part, but I believe verse 14 here is an indication that God may have healed Miriam as soon as Moses' prayer was offered up. Remember Leviticus 13, verses 3 through 6, which we read through, that a leprous person had to be checked 7 days after the skin sore was initially found to be determined if the leprosy was healed. So after that 1 week period, it could be speculated that she was healed on day one when she got the leprosy, and then allowed back into the camp 7 days later. But I also think that when Miriam was allowed back into the camp a week later, she was probably a marked woman. She probably had to shave her head. She probably had to shave her eyebrows. and she probably had the right mark of blood on her right earlobe, her right thumb, and her right toe. So she was probably a marked woman. So leprosy came with a lot of stigma about it. It was a very isolating and humbling disease. It was a disease where people had to quarantine. They had to consider not giving the disease to others. They had to consider this to a point where they were told to yell, "Unclean, unclean," to passersby. Does that sound like the coronavirus to you guys? It reminded me of it a little bit. Here we had been at this feast, trying to practice social distancing to a certain degree, wearing masks, and preventing viral spread. Our lives have been completely upended this year. And like I said earlier, our nation has been crippled by the virus. So there does seem to be quite a few individual social and national and spiritual similarities between leprosy outbreak in ancient Israel and this coronavirus outbreak right now to me. With all this in mind, let's take a look at the reaction of a leper who was dwelling in the countryside of Galilee in Jesus' time. Will everyone please turn to Mark 1 and verse 40? We'll look at that, Mark 1, verse 40. In Mark 1, verses 30 through 39, we see that Christ and his apostles were in Galilee, and we see that Christ had healed Peter's mother-in-law who had a bad fever. And then, all of a sudden, all these people came to Christ for healings. And there was such a demand for healing to the point that Christ recommended that he and the apostles leave where they were at. Because Christ said in that passage of Scripture, that section of Scripture, that the major purpose that he was going about right now was to give teachings and not necessarily to perform healings. So they were on the move just after healing Peter's mother-in-law. And this is where we pick up the story in Mark 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleaned. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansings, those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out. So that's talking of the sacrifices that we read. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. So let's talk about a few things that we see here. We see that a leper approached Jesus Christ for healing when he was leaving the area that he had been healing people from. And we see that the leper actively ran out to Jesus Christ when he saw our healer, our great physician, coming towards him. This leper was not staying down in his bedding. He did not yell, "Unclean, unclean," and try to keep Jesus Christ and the apostles away. No, he actively ran towards Jesus Christ. He knelt at his feet, and he asked for complete cleansing. He didn't kneel, and he didn't just ask that some of his leprous scabs start to heal. He asked for cleansing, complete cleansing. And Jesus Christ was willing to give him that cleansing. The leper asked for this in faith, and he believed Jesus Christ could deliver, and he did deliver. Jesus Christ refers to himself as a physician. We won't turn to these passages for sake of time, but if you want to jot them down in your notes, Matthew 9, verse 12, Mark 2, 17, Luke 4, 23, and Luke 5, 31, Jesus Christ refers to himself as a physician. And remember, we know that from Isaiah 53, verse 5, and 1 Peter 2, 24, that we review at Passover, that we are healed by the stripes that Christ received. In the millennium, Christ will be in the business of healing on a massive scale. Jesus Christ is our great physician. That is one of the many roles he serves in. And his healing is complete, too. Healing from God is physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. How badly has 2020 shown us that we need this ultimate healing on the planet right now? Every person on this planet needs this healing. We need it individually and collectively. Brethren, we should all be like the leper in Mark 1. We should be actively running to Jesus Christ and God the Father. We need to recognize what needs healing and what needs cleansing in our lives. We don't need to be sitting on our mats, hiding away from people, just thinking we're in a state of uncleanliness. We need to be running to Jesus Christ and God the Father for healing and for cleansing. If you are a teen, come to the Bible study later tonight. We'll discuss how we can do these principles. We'll discuss things that can anchor us to God. But we, collectively as a group, have reviewed this in many messages here at the feast. We've learned about remaining steadfast and working on the basics. We've learned about being holy and righteous. We've learned about becoming servant leaders. And like I said, many other messages have shown us how to run to Jesus Christ and God the Father. We need to internalize these messages when we get back home, and we need to work on these in our state that we are actively running towards Jesus Christ and God the Father, like the leper in Mark 1. But we are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles here. This feast pictures a wonderful time in the future when God's government will be reigning here on earth. God the Father and Jesus Christ will offer this healing with great cleansing to all the world in the fulfillment of these days. Christ will begin to fulfill the role of the great physician for all. Let's read a passage that talks about that. Will everyone please turn to Psalms 147? Psalms 147. And we'll read verses 1 through 6. I'm sure they're already there on the computer prompt, and I appreciate the scriptures being displayed. Psalms 147, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. But look what it says here in verse 3 of this passage. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. He'll be doing this a lot in the millennial period. There's actually an interesting tree that will be established during the millennium that will aid with the healing of humanity. And I really appreciate having these floral displays here with some broad-leafed vegetation up beside me, because the Feast of Tabernacles, when you turn to Leviticus, actually does have a component of trees in that. In this festival. And God uses trees to explain many different lessons in the Bible. And we're going to look at a passage here in Ezekiel 47 where God is using a tree to get a point of healing across to humanity. Let's all turn to Ezekiel 47. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. This is talking about the temple in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. And the front of the temple was faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. The water came up to my waist. And again he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not cross. For the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? He brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, This water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from Engedi to Englaim, and there will be places for spreading the nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the banks of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their waters flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for medicine. Or some translations put that as healing. So we see a great river coming out of the millennial temple here. We see in verse 7 and 12 that along the banks of this great river are trees. Trees are lined up and down this river, and their leaves will be used for medicine or healing the people of the millennium. So in the millennium, there will actually be trees along the bank of this great river coming out of the temple that will heal people. But as with many things God sets up physically, there's a great spiritual symbolism in this river and these trees. Listen to what the United Church of God Bible Commentary says about these trees in the commentary written on Ezekiel 47. This is from the UCG commentary on this passage. Besides the literal application, there's a wonderfully symbolic picture in all this. Again, the river represents the outflowing of the Holy Spirit, bringing life to the lifeless. In the fruitful, medicinal trees, we may see God's Spirit working in the lives of His righteous servants. For not only are the righteous to partake of the tree of life, they are to be, in a sense, to be trees of life themselves. Nourished by the streams of the Holy Spirit, they are to produce godly fruit and be a life-giving blessing to others. A godly person who continually meditates on and lives according to God's law is like a tree planted by the river of water. It brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So we see here in the Bible commentary on this passage that these trees may actually represent God's righteous people. It may, in a type, represent us, both now as God's people with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and in the future as spirit beings. We, as a people, can help in the healing of the nations. We can help by saying a kind word. We can help right now by sending a card to the shut-ins. We can help right now by praying. We can help by helping our communities, those who are hurting. We should strive to represent God as these healing servants right now that are represented by the trees. This is a role that we will probably continue to fulfill in the millennium. So you can either work with God on being a healing agent for the people, or maybe there's also that role of skin checker as a priest. So either one. But no, make no mistake about it. The physical temple of God will be established in the millennium. This actual river with healing in its waters will flow from the temple. And the people of the millennium will come to these trees on the bank of the river for sustenance and physical healing. Will we, can we, and do we represent for God what these trees represent along the bank? Do we carry God's life-giving Holy Spirit to our communities around us so that God can heal those that are present in our lives? Will we continue to be rooted in God's Holy Spirit after we leave the feast so that God can work, do the work of the great physician, and so that that work can be accomplished in us? You see, the work of healing is going on now, and it will continue to happen throughout the millennium. It will be happening even throughout the 8th day period. In fact, we even have a reminder of these trees beyond the 8th day. There's not very many things that we can peek into past the 8th day, but these trees are actually one of them. Let's look at that over in Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And we'll read verses 1 through 7. Revelation 22 is describing the throne of God in the new heavens and the new earth. This section of Bible is talking about that wonderful period when everyone has finished their calling, a time after the 8th day. There's no more death or sorrow, just sons and daughters of God existing with God. And we actually see some similarities between a tree here and trees in the millennium. Let's read verses 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, like that new name, and when we're given that new name that we were heard about earlier. There shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The scripture mentions in verse 2 that the leaves of the tree that were mentioned here were for the healing of the nations. I believe this is a correct interpretation of what this tree will be past this eighth day time. A few Bible translations translate the verb as are, but most translate it as the leaves were for the healings of the nations. So we have this beautiful tree here, and trees that are actually referred to as the tree of life. And we can see that their leaves were for the healing of the nations. So these beautiful trees will be trees of life, standing of reminders for when God's healing power healed all of us. What a beautiful, eternal reminder of God's healing that will be. Brethren, 2020 has been a reminder to us that this world is all too filled with sickness, illness, and filth. This year has demonstrated more than a few similarities to biblical leprosy to me. If you have been hit this year with illness, or even if you find yourself in a position where you feel a little unclean, now is not the time to slink back in the bushes and your rags, yelling unclean, unclean to passersby. No, now is the time to run to Jesus Christ and God the Father and do as the leper of Mark 1 did. Now is the time to have faith in the great physician that he will heal you and cleanse you according to his time and his plan. We need to run to Jesus Christ and the Father now. We can, in fact, be more like our elder brother. We can become rooted in God's Holy Spirit. We can and will help God accomplish the work of cleaning up and healing the nations. We can start now in our communities to a small extent. Through our examples, through our acts, through our prayers. Healing and cleansing the nations is a big work, and it will be accomplished in a big way in the millennium. We will see this healing work. We see this healing work symbolized in the trees along the bank of the Temple River in the millennium. Brethren, be like these trees. Have a great conclusion to the feast and a wonderful eighth day, holy day.